Now live from EverBank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Oh, look at that, an early start to Jaguars Today this morning, Tony. I think the drill figured out the secret. Go on remote if you don't want to talk to us. It's pretty easy. It's pretty evident. Get out of the house. Get out of the building and get on your way. Good morning, everybody. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on the program. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today kicking off right now. We'll hear from Gus. We'll hear from Blake. You know who those guys are. We're all on an intimate first-name basis with the head coach and quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars. 2 days away from preseason week number 3 kicking off for the Jags. John Osier, the senior writer from Jaguars.com, will join us in about 30, 35 minutes. Give us the latest. What's going on? Early practice today, right? Off the practice field. A lot of meetings going on.
Yeah.
They'll be done in about an hour, I think. And then on they go. You know, so just a little bit of a different schedule today. Today's like their Friday. They're trying to simulate game week as much as possible. So today is the equivalent of a, you know, a Friday kind of walkthrough preparation, I suppose, but we'll get the lowdown from Osh when he comes in.
Yeah, hopefully here in about half an hour, John Osher should be joining us in studio to get the latest of what's going on with practice and what to expect Friday night when the Detroit Lions do come calling. And it is, we talk about it, it's dress rehearsal week in the preseason, so teams across the league, for the first 2 weeks, these games that we've been talking about, this idea of, well, they're not game planning. Well, they're game planning a little bit this week. It's not like it's going to be when Carolina comes to town, but there is a little bit of game planning. They do take a look at an opponent and try to basically do what they would do on a game week a little bit more. Here week 3, obviously all the starters play a little bit longer. In week 3 of the preseason 2, it's why it's nice to have it at home for the fans here in Jacksonville. You get the opportunity to go out and see your boys for a half of football, at least, generally speaking, in the third week of the preseason, and they usually come out for at least a drive or two there in the second half as well. So you get to see your guys for as much as you possibly can in the preseason here during week 3, and there's actual real game planning going into it. So there's no more of this, it's just a vanilla blitz. No, this may be a blitz. Like, this may be what they wanted to do or try against Detroit, right? And you get a little bit more of that with week 3 of the preseason as well.
It is the game when you feel the least bad about paying full price, right? By the way, for your full price admission, apparently you're going to have the world's fastest Wi-Fi this year. Tony, is there a Comcast truck in Jacksonville that's not in the parking lot today?
I am a mile away today.
Am I exaggerating to say there are at least 100 Comcast Xfinity bands in the parking lot?
If you're in the Jacksonville area and you're waiting on Comcast today, I know why.
Yes.
They're all down here.
I hope you got like a 24-hour window instead of a 2-hour window for when they're supposed to show up, because they are all down here. And I walked in today and, you know, I mean, I'm not going to ask for anything official. I'm just going to ask the first person I see. Hey, what's going on? They boosting the Wi-Fi? Yep. Okay. I'll take your word for it. So that's a story I'm going with today. But, man.
They need them all.
Apparently, it's like one of those deals where everyone's got to throw the switch at the same time.
That's
and there are 100
crazy.
Of them all spread throughout the stadium. I don't know the ins and outs of it, but they are down here trying to boost your game day experience, man. They are taking it seriously.
Sure.
I'm with you. I had to hike in here, man. I got a Sherpa to guide me in today.
I'm almost in the Suns parking lot. Like,
are you that far over?
I'm that far.
I'm not quite that far. I got here a little bit before you did today. So, I just parked in Shad's spot. I'm good with that. By the way, did you see Joe Buck railing against Stan Kroenke?
Yeah, that was
trying to
awesome.
Take the Rams out. And
the name mentioned for Shad.
Yes,
love it.
Yeah. Well, they asked him too if Shad Khan, how much better would the team be? Would the St. Louis Rams be if Shad Khan had bought them? Would they be better off? And something like, 100% would have been better for this franchise. What was the name? Did you say? You just said what now?
No, he dropped Shad Khan's name.
Oh, the Shad Khan name drop. Okay, I thought you said he dropped a name for Shad Khan.
No.
I misunderstood you there. I was thinking, did I not read far enough down in the article? did they bury the lead, as I often do? Speaking of burying the lead, you won't have to feel bad about paying full price for Friday night if you get a free pair of tickets from me.
Oh.
Right? So how about that? I got a pair sitting right in front of me, Tony. Section 213. Same drill as last time a couple of weeks ago against the Pittsburgh Steelers. simply email me, MikeD@1010XL.com. Tell me why the ticket should be yours. And you know what I'll do? I'll even maybe throw in a Jaguars Today t-shirt. It's quite the nice little prize pack for you. By the way, we have reinstituted the social media tweet, Facebook, t-shirt of the day giveaway kind of thing. It's kind of low-key. I don't like to push it because I may have a day when I don't think any of you are deserving of it. And therefore, I'm going to keep it for me, and I'll have extra t-shirts in my wardrobe. But
Like last time where, look, the only way to get the tickets is to email, Mike.
The tickets are definitely, that's a separate deal. That has nothing to do with the question of the day.
But the only way to get the tickets is to send the email saying why.
Yes.
You should get
just
the tickets.
Just email me and tell me why you think you should get the tickets. That's
phone number included.
But please include your phone number.
Right.
Yes.
That's how we're going to get back to you to let you know.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
That you won the ticket. So if your phone number's not in the email, you're not going to be
You're not going to win. We're going to look. We're going to say, oh, no phone number. I'm not going to bother to read this because I can distinguish numbers from letters pretty quickly. Thank you very much. So we'll do that a little bit later on. But email, the only way you can get on board with that. Question of the day is in honor of Tony's team. The New York Giants and Odell Beckham Jr., Victor Cruz.
Are they still my team?
Anybody would have tried to hit me when we played the game the other day. So sad. Simply this. Who's the most annoying player in the National Football League? Who bothers you the most? Hopefully, most of the submissions will come from a franchise other than the Jacksonville Jaguars, I'm thinking. Unless you hold some personal grudges I'm not aware
of. I don't know if anybody on this team's going to be the most annoying right now. I could see one former player who's playing on the West Coast that might draw some ire from some fans here in town still. But I could see Odell Beckham Jr. He's still so new to the league, but he carries himself in that kind of way where you could see him quickly rising up that kind of list.
Yes.
Like, he plays the game, he talks a lot.
The haircut, the dyed hair, the whole thing.
And especially if it's going to get to where Victor Cruz is coming to your defense after games.
Oh, my
games. Goodness.
Hey, you know, and the thing of it is...
Not a good look.
Let's hear. We have, Tyler, what do we have? We have Odell Beckham Jr. being asked about this, because I guess Victor Cruz brought it up first, right? And then Odell was asked to respond... Did he feel that he was a specific target of the Jaguars' secondary? I mean, yeah, you're a target of the secondary. They cover receivers.
Right.
That's what they do. Of course you're a target of the secondary. This is Odell Beckham Jr. Yesterday responding to claims from his teammate Victor Cruz that the Jags might have been a little rough. The first week, all right, so we'll hear Cruz and we'll hear Beckham Jr. both back-to-back. Let's play them.
Now, you had been quoted, Victor, as saying that you thought that Jacksonville was really hunting for Odell Beckham Jr. in that game. They've been quoted today saying that's not true, that's just how we play, and it's a game and we're hitting hard. Do you stand by your statements?
I do stand by my statement. When the ball goes up in the air and you can see the defender not looking for an interception but looking to make a harsh hit on Odell Beckham Jr., that's pretty obvious.
All right, let's start off with the words of Victor Cruz. We just had him on. He had said earlier that he felt that Jacksonville was targeting you. I asked him if he wanted to back off in his comments after Jacksonville said that wasn't true. He said, no, I'm not backing off. He said, because when a ball's in the air and they're not looking for the ball, they're just looking to hit the player, they're targeting him. Did you feel, Odell, that you were being targeted?
In a way, yeah, I did. I agree with it. It's just, it's like the ball's in there. It's a 50-50 ball, and you have a chance at the ball. You're just throwing your body in. Not even, you almost hit the ball with it back, and you're throwing the body in at me. Then, it kind of takes away from the game of football. It's not making great plays. Now you're just out there. You're going after a person. So I understand that could be what it's going to be like this year. Deserved or not deserved, that's just what the case is going to be. So protect yourself. And I agree with Vic in a way. It seems as if no matter if you say yes or no, you weren't trying to, it looks different in real life and on film. Guys have an opportunity to make a play on the ball, and they're not making a play on the ball. I mean, it's kind of going more towards me. But like I said, it's part of the game. I'm not going to sit there and be the one to complain about it. It's just like, man to man, like, if you have a chance to make a play, like, make a play. Don't make the play on me or feel like you're trying to blow me up.
That is making a play.
Right.
Right?
I mean, I heard Telvin Smith was on with the ladies at Helmets and Heels last night, and it was pretty hysterical listening to him because they asked him about this really late in the show. He had been on for like 40 minutes, and they're like, did you hear what Victor Cruz and Odell Beckham had? He's like, they said what? Like, he was really funny about it. He's like, the name of the game is hit the man with the ball. That's what we do. We hit the guy with the ball. That's my job. I don't get that
apparently,
at all.
Apparently, Odell only wants finesse corners who want to make interceptions and not get physical. I guess he would have appreciated Deion Sanders covering him. But maybe not too many other guys. I mean,
right.
That's legit. Tell me, and I'm not even going to argue who had a chance to make a play on the ball or not. That's their prerogative. If their play is, when the ball arrives, I'm going to separate you from the ball.
Sure.
That's a valid, legitimate way to play defense. And I'm not one of these guys that is all, oh, you know, these guys are a bunch of sissies. Hit them in the mouth. No, I think there are some reasonable protections that the NFL has tried to put in for whatever reasons, whether they were afraid of litigation or anything else. But I don't think a lot of what's gone on, I'm very much opposed to. I don't think it's ruining the game of football. But come to the point where if the ball arrives and the defensive player arrives simultaneously or a half beat after and separates you from it, and that's the way he chooses to go about it, maybe he's not quick enough to get to the ball. Maybe he doesn't have the ball skills. Maybe he feels like if I make that attempt and I miss the ball, you're going to catch it and go for a touchdown. I mean, there are a million reasons why you would do that. Or maybe he just wants to bust you up, and that's kind of part of the game of football, too.
Sure, and for a guy like Beckham, I think that was part of what he said in his comment, too. He has to understand that this is coming this year, right? With the way that he played last year, well, they're going to start treating you a different way in the league. Defenses around the league, you're not going to be sneaking up on anybody, obviously. And a couple of things from just this weekend. DJ Swearinger made a play at the goal line where Tyler Eifert was potentially going to score a touchdown on the play for Cincinnati. The ball got to Eifert. Swearinger separated him from the ball, hit him hard enough that he dropped the football. Is that not a fair play? Is that playing the man instead of the ball, Odell? Or was that just the guy playing safety in the league making a freaking play? Right? I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous to have that opinion about
Speaking of safeties in the league making plays, Donovan Derry texted me. He said, yeah, Odell would have hated me. He goes, I would hit you early in your mouth, early in the game, just so you start thinking about me and not the ball late in the game. And he gave me a little wink on that, but he wasn't
kidding. I'm sure he would. And by the way, Odell, since nobody in New York's going to ask you this question, if you had been saying that to Jacksonville media, they might have. Were you playing the ball or the man on your last rep of the game when you went after Sergio Brown with your own arm?
Right.
Right? I mean, which was it there, Odell?
Oh, that was just out of frustration because he'd been unfairly targeted throughout the contest. So, with
I'm sure. They were trying to hit me hard in a preseason game.
I am sure many share the opinion that that was quite annoying coming out of both Victor Cruz and Odell Beckham Jr.'s mouths yesterday. So, weigh in today. The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day asks you, who's the most annoying player in the NFL? That comes down to personal preference. I mean, that's wide open for you. So send your submissions our way at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL,
Pat Tony.
Yes, and at 1010XL Tyler. I think I agreed with one of the early tweeters this morning, and I don't know if he would have been the first one to come to mind, but once he said him, it was hard to shake the thought that this guy isn't now annoying pretty much every time I see him on my screen. So we'll get to that later, give you our thoughts on that, and we'll pick somebody at the end of the show to walk away with a lovely Jaguars Today t-shirt and a copy of the home game, too, the Jaguars Today home edition, which is nice to have, which simply means Tony and I show up at your place and start talking football. That's what it is. Nothing to do with that.
But don't answer your
there
questions.
There is no home game.
We just talk to each other.
We just talk
football.
To each other, and we choose not to take your call while we're sitting in your living room. All right, today we're brought to you by Metro Rooter, as we are every Wednesday. We'll hear from Gus Bradley coming up. We'll hear from Blake Bortles coming up throughout the show. We'll hear from John Osier, the senior writer from Jaguars.com, a little bit later on. Again, email me, Mike D at 1010XL.com. I'll hook you up with a pair of tickets, potentially, in section 213. So send those along. I can only pick one. Don't hate me because I don't pick you. And I'm speaking to most of the people who are going to send me an email because I'm only picking one of you, and that's just the way it goes. So I'll make one person happy, and a lot of people hate me. But it's kind of the story of my life, Tony, as we continue on. He's Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey, 641-1010, the number to get in. It's also the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Jaguars Today, just getting rolling here at Everbank Field on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today, Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. I did not include the instruction about the phone number in the tweet, Tony, about getting the tickets, but you have to include your phone number. Please, make it easy on us. Take it easy on Tyler, because he's going to be the one I go, here are a pair of tickets. Please contact our winner. All right, but email me, Mike D at 1010XL.com, and I'll determine a winner sometime today. You can probably pick him up tomorrow or Friday if you want to go see the Jags play the Lions this Friday night. And as well, tweet us, text us, post on the Facebook page, or give us a call. Your thoughts on the most annoying player in the National Football League. Also, what you're most looking forward to. We'll talk about that not only today, but as the next couple days go by. The thing I'm most looking forward to, Tony, is just a big dose of T.J. Yeldon. I mean, let's see it. Bunch with the first team, get him some runs with the second team. I'm not concerned about getting him overworked. I think his legs have been getting a workout, right? I mean, he's out there in the non-contact. He's still running around.
Sure.
And I don't think they would risk his hand if they didn't feel like he was in a position to protect himself and protect his quarterback and not risk unnecessarily risk further injury. You risk further injury every time you take the football field.
No doubt.
So that to me is, you know, I'd like to see 12 to 15 carries for T.J. Yeldon, to be quite frank with you. I don't know if he'll get that kind of workload, but something approaching double digits at least, throwing the ball a couple of times, see him in some different – I want to see him in short yardage. I want to see him in open space. I want to see him everywhere. You know, that's the thing that has me intrigued the most, just because it's a little bit of an unknown right now. And as much as we're excited, as good as he may have looked in the scrimmage or any practices, this is taking it to a different dimension on Friday night.
No, it is. And we talked about it last week when we weren't sure whether he was going to play in week 2 of the preseason or not, and whether or not you felt like you needed to see him in the preseason. And we both agreed that, yeah, you want to see T.J. Yeldon get some work here in the preseason. If it wasn't going to be last week, then it would be this week for week 3 against Detroit. I'm glad that he's going to be able to play on Friday night and get some game action. You'd probably want to limit his exposure week 4 just because now you're talking about being just a handful of days away from the start of the regular season.
Right.
You don't want to risk any kind of injury, but you want to get a look at him on an NFL field against a team that doesn't like him.
Give
right?
him a chance, too, to just get that those kind of butterflies out of the way a little
sure.
bit.
Sure. Instead of when Carolina comes calling and he walks out of that tunnel, it's like, here it goes, my first carry in the NFL, and it counts.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's good that he's going to get that opportunity this week. 10 to 12 touches would be nice. I don't know if they're going to get him that kind of exposure.
Oh, Gus said you're going to play extensively, baby. I want to see extensive. That's what I want.
I hear that. What's the most touches that a running back has had for this team to this point in the preseason?
I don't know. Half dozen, maybe?
Probably.
Something like that, right?
Kobe and Bernard, maybe that first week.
Something like that.
Somewhere in that kind of range.
You know, so look, if he doesn't get it, I'm just figuring if he's playing with the ones, and he's going to play a lot with the starters, and maybe even, as Gus said, a little bit with the twos, we're going to see him on the field as much as any offensive player, pretty much.
Sure.
You know, and if that's the case, use him. They're going to run the football. And look, I'm not. It's not important that he gets 20 carries or anything like that on Friday night. I'm just trying to express how eager I am to see him with the ball in his hands and give us a glimpse of that dimension he might bring to this football team. Because, you know, quite frankly, I think people are excited about the way Denard and Toby have looked in this preseason at various times, at least, you know, running hard and overall cautiously optimistic about the improvements in the offensive line. So now you get the guy back there that we all feel ultimately is going to prove to be the most talented guy at the position. Let's go. Let's get this thing moving. 641-1010, if you'd like to weigh in, we'll hear from Gus coming up here shortly. Let's go to Travis to kick things off here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Travis. How are you?
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
I'm Travis.
The most annoying player to me is Tom Brady. He's a good quarterback, but he walks around with a chip on his shoulder like he's just the best quarterback in the league and his time is done. He annoys me.
Is his time all right? Look, you're certainly welcome to be annoyed by anybody you like, but you really think Brady's time is done in the league? Is one of the best
he might have
quarterbacks?
A couple more in him. I don't think he's quite done like that, but the fact that he annoys me.
That's enough, bro. It doesn't have to be rational if somebody annoys you. I understand. I can understand why Tom Brady, you know, his Uggs wearing persona could be annoying.
Well, too. And it's he does things on the field that annoy you too. It's not just the off-field persona and everything that he has that you don't have, and then it comes and shows up on the field. He's the guy when he throws that touchdown pass. He is the red-faced screamer.
Yes,
I mean
fist pumper, finger pointer.
Right, he does all that kind of stuff too on the field. Now,
if Philip Rivers had some Super Bowls, he'd be Tom Brady, right?
Yeah.
I mean, very similar in many regards. Rivers gets a much worse reputation, and I think part of it is because Brady's got the Lombardi trophy. You say, well, it works, right?
I know. But every time, it's almost like you get surprised by it when you watch Tom, because he's been so successful that when he throws a touchdown pass in the second quarter of a game and he loses his mind celebrating with teammates, you're like, where'd this come from? And then you're like, oh yeah, he does this every week when he throws that touchdown pass in the second quarter. But it almost slips your mind until you see him doing it again. You're like, oh yeah, Tom is this guy.
Yes.
He's not above being this too, which is probably why
right.
There's a lot of people that don't like Tom Brady.
Dez Bryant yells his teammates to fire him up. He's a little bit bordering on out of control. Tom Brady yells at him, Tony, he's a passionate leader. You know, that's that whole narrative that certain guys get, and a lot of it has to do with the quarterback position. I get that, but, you know, annoying knows no rational reason at times as well. Let's go to Ryan up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
Pretty good. How y'all doing?
Good. What's on your mind, man?
I would probably say Odell Beckham right now, not because of the preseason game, but every time you go on NFL.com, NFL, Facebook, Instagram, all you see is, oh, Odell Beckham made this one-handed catch for practice. You know, it's like the main thing they focus on. They don't focus on anything else for that team. It's just Odell Beckham did this crazy catch. You know, you go to the bathroom and they can post about it on Facebook.
Well, yeah, and I can get that. He's an overnight celebrity, right, because of the catch. And, look, he had a tremendous rookie season, but overexposure is a real thing, and we do it in American sports society. We do it all the time. We take something that's good, and we like to shove it down your throat, like Brent Martineau, right, who I just saw walk by the studio. You didn't notice that, Tony.
I did not,
you know, we figured a little dose of Brent would be a good thing, and then 1010 decided, let's just shove him down everyone's throat. Let's just put him on here for hours upon hours upon hours. But same with Osier a little bit. You know, sometimes a little overexposure rhymes with Osier. Is your mic on? I don't think it is. Yeah, your mic's not on, pal. So yes, well,
you're comparing me to Martin.
Is that a compliment to you or a demerit? It's a low blow. Is that what that is? All right. We're gonna take a quick timeout. We're gonna come back with Johnny O, the senior writer from Jaguars.com. By the way, got this one on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Speaking of Beckham, bro, he says he's one of my peeps, bro. Which is worse? Having a quarterback that can't hit the broadside of a barn, well, we know who that was the other night, and wants to get paid, or a wide receiver that's on the cover of Madden and whining about being tackled, hashtag, I don't know if I can read all these, hashtag most annoying player. We'll go with that one. That's the one I felt safe in reading and passing along. So share your thoughts on that. Coming up, John Osier, senior writer for Jaguars.com, Gus Bradley, the head coach of your Jags, what he had to say yesterday as the Jags continue their preparations now 2 days away from the dress rehearsal of the preseason. Again, email me, Mike D at 1010XL.com, to score potentially a pair of tickets to Friday night's game. Include your phone number. Just tell me why you should get the tickets. It's that easy. And just keep in mind, I can only pick one winner. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday for all size plumbing jobs, in-home, commercial, industrial plumbing, septic systems, you name it. If it has to do with plumbing, Metro Rooter's got the solution. They are my problem solvers when I have plumbing issues at my house. Same-day service, weekends included. They've got the right people with the right equipment. That's why they've been serving Jacksonville and the surrounding area since 1978. Visit MetroRooter.com or call 695-1911. 695-1911 for Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, we continue along in Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, joined by the senior writer and no one's most annoying person in the NFL, John Osier.
I think.
Oh, come on.
I think that's a opposite because it's funny.
I doubt that. Seriously, I doubt you have many enemies. I think you're a well-liked person.
Yeah, I should. You haven't spent very much time with my wife. And
well, your wife might dislike you a lot, but that's natural.
I tell my son, I'm so much more popular outside my house.
You really are.
Oh,
right?
It's amazing.
When I write this internet column, people mail me all the time. They want to know what I think. I'm a very important person.
He just stares at me with this blank look like, great.
Great, Dad.
That's awesome.
Can you send me some beer money?
That's right. No.
I mean, Dad, some ramen noodle money.
That's exactly
wink,
right.
Wink. Yes,
exactly
son.
Right. He's up there eating He's up there eating ramen noodles.
That's right. Yes, he is. By the 24 pack of liquid cans of ramen noodles, I'm sure. Johnny O.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to give you nightmares.
No.
I'm sure your kid is studying right now, as a matter of fact.
I just sent him a text and told him he better be.
He better be. Right. So, for the Jags, just kind of a walkthrough Friday, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're trying to simulate the game week as much as they possibly can to
a lot of floppy hats. A lot of floppy hats out there today.
Was yours out there? Sunny out?
No, it was only about 15 minutes. So
but you didn't drive all these Comcast vans up here today, did you?
That was amazing, wasn't it?
Seriously, I mean, we talked literally, I would say at least 100 of them out there.
Yeah, at least. And I'm not sure
right?
what they were doing. But
I was told, and again, I don't know if the person I asked knows anything about it. I was told they're boosting the Wi-Fi capabilities.
They're 100.
I don't know, man. What else would they be doing out there? They're having a convention here? Maybe they're having a convention here. Maybe the people who I asked were just like, yeah, sure, whatever. They're boosting the Wi-Fi. I don't know. Why are there 100 Comcast fans in the parking lot?
It was, maybe that's what it was.
Comcast give them like, hey, we'll match you for every season ticket you buy, and they all ran down here rushed down. Who knows?
Certainly not.
A reporter might be the kind of guy you want to go to, Tony, to get to the bottom of that.
No doubt.
We'll see if we can dig one up a little bit later on.
They find a business
program.
What kind of business report?
So what are you looking forward to this Friday night? For me, this is the T.J. Yeldon show. Obviously,
yeah.
You want to see a lot of good things out of the first-team offense and defense, but what specifically will you be keying on this week?
Well, if you're a fan of this team, you don't want to get too comfortable with what they've done in the first couple of games. I think people still want to see the offensive line hold up again. I think they want to see the same things that you've seen the last couple of games that have given people a good feeling about the offense. You know, you want to see that happen against a team with a very good defensive line. So I think Bortles and the offensive line remain the thing that you want to see. And then as you said, I think T.J. Yeldon and how his skill set is going to fit into what you're already seeing from the run game, I'm very optimistic that he's going to fit in well and give them an extra element that they haven't had in a long time. I don't call him the missing piece or whatever, but in terms of what we've seen offensively so far, if he's that guy who can get to the linebacker, make that guy miss, and all of a sudden start breaking off some 8, 11-yard runs, then the offense gets very interesting.
Yeah, it certainly does. And one of the decisions made on the offensive side, Gus Bradley decided to go with Stefan Wisniewski. And, you know, as we were discussing with Jeff Loggeman yesterday, he felt that had this been a year earlier in the process, maybe they go with Belanco and go kind of with the long range upside.
Right.
And whereas now he feels like, hey, you know what, a little more critical to focus on wins this year. And even if it's a slight edge, let's go with the better player. And I don't bring up Loggeman to taunt you because you know my man crush on Jeff, but I just bring it up because I think we should credit those whose opinions we quote. So,
it's just sort of, like some people always think about food. I mean, always thinking about Jeff. I get it.
I know.
Believe
me. It's constant.
I get it.
My wife's like, who's this Jeff guy?
Yeah, I diagnosed this long ago.
Yes. What do you think about that? I mean, did that play a role in it, or do you just think it was just, hey, it was close, we're going to go with the better player, they preach competition, you got to go with the guy whose eyes you see is leading in that competition?
Well, your good friend Frank Frangie made a point yesterday when I was on that show with him, and that was what a show to be a part of.
That really is. We're not, Tony and I don't get invited on that show.
Yeah, but they ran very well the other night, and they were able to dictate and control what they wanted to do with the running game. Gus really wants to be able to do that. So there probably is an element of, hey, this worked. We were able to control the line of scrimmage. We were able to pick up third and two consistently. Gus has talked about Wisniewski's toughness. So I think that ability played a factor. At the same time, there's also a comfort level. The guy has been in the league for 4 years. He's been in Olsen's offense. One would imagine that when he's on the field and you're trying to make calls based on the defense, he's very comfortable doing that, having been in Greg's offense before. They talk about what a smart player he is. At some point, I think you're just comfortable going with the guy who's been in there for 60 games. Also, you...
Hey!
What about that? Here,
third
let me grab
ladies
that.
Lingerie.
But you're comfortable going with that. At the same time, Luke Buenco can do some other things as well. And I think they
athletically,
know...
Athletically, you mean.
Yeah, and yeah. I think they know that at some point, Luke Buenco is probably going to play. Because it's very rare to have all five guys not get hurt. So I don't think this is the last time we're going to talk about Luke Buenco this year.
As a matter of fact, let's hear. This is what Gus had to say. He was asked specifically about this because on, I'm trying to think if it was Sunday or Monday, when he announced the decision, he brought up the prospect
Monday,
of Luke Buenco playing some tackle, or at least getting some reps, some training at tackle. So he was asked to follow up about that yesterday. Here's Gus, more on Luke Buenco and the plans to maybe mix him in at tackle.
Yeah, you know, we like his athleticism, and I think his ability to play that. You know, I'll tell you one thing about Bo, the type of guy he is. Like, we were just walking in, he was getting extra reps out there, just lining up and at tackle and getting some rushes on him. So he's a very hard worker. He's got some athleticism, to be a tackle type. So we want to take a look at him.
Yeah, I think it's more, and why not, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Let's see if we can find a way, if there's an injury. Luke Buenco, we're debating this with Logan yesterday. It's such a thing as your sixth best offensive lineman. And he thinks, well, you know, not necessarily because your interior guys might not play tackle, and it doesn't mean your sixth guy up. I think clearly, just in terms of ability, Buenco seems like the number six guy here right now. Ability, experience, combination, ready to play. Everything.
Yeah, and I think AJ can. Is another guy who they feel very good about.
Sure, but it's more in potential.
Right, and I think with AJ Cann, it's a case of at some point, this regime wants to get to a point where it's hard for third round, fourth round, fifth round rookies to get on the field immediately.
Right.
So I think that's where let's wait until AJ Cann is ready to play and just makes it obvious to us he has to be in the lineup. I think Luke Buenco having that experience is already there. And, you know, I guess this is a story for us because there haven't been that many guys the last few years who were backups where you felt like, boy, they need to be on the field. And the more guys you get like that, on defense you have Tyson Alualo and Dwayne Gratz, who I think you would feel good about being on the field. On offense, now you're starting to get some backups, Toby Gerhart, Denard Robinson, guys who... I don't call those guys backups, but I think T.J. Yeldon's going to be the back at some point. You're starting to get some players that you feel okay about who aren't starting, and you need more than 22 good players in the NFL to win, so they're starting maybe to gear toward that.
Had the little flap yesterday, which we've referenced, Victor Cruz on the Michael Kay Show saying, you know, they're targeting Odell Beckham Jr. Odell Beckham Jr. then went on and said, yeah, I agree with him. You know, guys are trying to make a play on me and not on the ball, which, you know, Tony and I already went through is absurd. That's a legitimate way to play defense. When the ball arrives, hit the player, knock the ball loose.
Yeah.
But to me, this is more about Sergio Brown's a chirper. All right, we hear him out at practice. He's constantly running his mouth. Okay, and those kind of guys get under your skin. You know, right now, I bet Sergio Brown, if you pull the Giants locker room, might be the most annoying player in the National Football League, right? Just because that's his nature. And is that a pretty good sign, though, that you know, look, he was frustrated, I'm sure, by Eli Manning being off target, but Sergio was in the ballpark,
right.
You know, and, you know, covering over the top, and he's letting him know about it, and he's, is this going to be a guy that maybe helps rattle opposing teams' wide receivers?
I think so a little bit, and I thought the other night, I haven't watched Odell Beckham Jr. that much, other than the highlights and a couple of games, but it did strike me that after that first play, he wasn't really going after the ball as hard as I thought he might be. And then he said later, and so did Victor Cruz, you know, in the preseason you try to conserve yourself. And I get that. That's not a unwise thing to do. But it certainly seemed to affect the way he went after the ball. Would he have done that during the regular season? I don't know, but it was in his head a little bit maybe. So
what strong
safety
doesn't line up a guy in that circumstance, right? You see him coming. You know he's got to reach out and expose his ribs to you, and he lined him up. And Craig Lawson didn't try to run through him and continue to play and take a cheap shot. He pulled up. He didn't hit him. That's head, right?
I mean, for a guy who never hit the ground during the game, this is a lot of talking about them headhunting for you.
Yeah. Well, And I thought there was one play early, and that it was on the long one down the side that I guess Eli overthrew him, and Sergio hit him, but I thought he could have really hit him. I mean, I thought there was a play where he could have just...
It's kind of like, I let you know I'm here kind of deal.
Yeah, he hit him, but it was within the context of the play. I thought he really could have gone after him and laid him out and didn't. I don't know. I mean, when things get said in New York, they get blown up. This is probably one of those. So it's a good preseason deal. I think it's definitely better that they're in their head than not. So if the Jaguars are making people think about going across the middle or going deep, so much the better.
Final thought for you here. We'll talk more about this hopefully Friday morning. But, Blake, just what are you hoping to see from him in the final, what we hope will be the final appearance of the preseason?
I think you want to see what you've seen so far. And I think what's good about Blake, what you've seen so far, is I don't think he's done anything that's not repeatable. Meaning, I don't think there's been anything where we've sat in here and gone, man, that was an unbelievable play, and he got 45 yards out of it. It's been solid. It's been reading defenses correctly. It's been making the right throws. And that's what you want to see from him. You want to see things that can be repeated, that you can keep doing, and that you want to rely on. Same with the offensive line. What you hope is that what we have seen so far from those two areas, Blake and the offensive line, isn't unusual. So you want to see it again.
I know I said last thing, but I got this one on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line for you. What percentage would you put on it that this team goes after a veteran wide receiver at some point during the process of rosters being trimmed down? And the texter followed up with, we should have re-signed Cecil Shorts or signed Nate Washington.
I love that we're now getting Cecil Shorts questions. Because
yes.
I couldn't take enough of those last year wanting him out of town. So that's fine. You know, I guess half and half, you know, and I don't know that they feel like they're there where they need it yet. Some of it might depend on where they think Marquise Lee is. It's a huge if he can stay on the field, then they're not in that much trouble at the spot. Does Aurelius Ben make that a definite have to go after? I don't know that they're there yet.
Who is the next guy? Who's the fifth guy right now in your mind after the 3 second-year players and Rashad Green?
Either Brian Walters or Tony Washington, so I guess maybe Walters because he's produced.
He had a better game catching everything.
The question becomes, is there, you know, he's a veteran who's played, and he's got some return ability.
So
he's got a lot of the stuff that you would probably be looking for if you're looking around. So is it already here, and we just haven't really thought about it? Maybe.
Just doesn't have that size. Neither one of them have that size. That if you're looking for somebody, because Aurelius Ben, I know one thing Gus liked about him was his ability to contribute in the blocking game for the run.
Yeah, I think everybody that you look at out there now is going to have one of those that you just said. He really doesn't have, you know.
Right, he has these things.
He's going to have, or really doesn't have. But certainly there's a case to be made for getting somebody else who can run, hit on special teams. Now, again, the question is, that's what they really liked about Ben. If they really like that about somebody else, would they already be here?
No .com live today. Does that mean you'll answer extra ozone questions today, or how will that work?
It's sort of like what I said about Blake Bortles. I just want to keep doing it and be consistent.
Do your thing. Get better. Stack them up.
Quick note, by the way, Michael Rothstein, who covers the Detroit Lions for ESPN, NFL Nation, Jim Caldwell, speaking to the media here this morning, said he's not sure if Calvin Johnson's going to play on Friday night or not. It's not an injury thing. They're just looking to expose him as little as possible. So maybe no Megatron on Friday for Detroit.
You want to see?
They don't want to play in those Jaguar safeties.
Maybe it is, right? Maybe he's like, hey, Odell Beckham called and said, hey, you might want to lay off, right? But if I were them, I wouldn't play him. I mean, I think you know what Calvin Johnson's capable of at this point in his career.
If they've played him already, that might be too much.
Right. And, you know, so as much as I'd like to see him, not so much just to see him, but I'd like to see the Jags defense respond to him, it's probably the smart thing to do for Caldwell.
No, I think that's what you want. If this team, you know, develops some of these guys, I think you'll want to see Blake Bortles less. I think, you know, all those things of exposing to injury. Teams can control their injury exposure during the preseason, And it sounds like the Lions might be doing that.
All right, well, go talk to Gus. Gus coming up in about 15 minutes, a little press conference.
It's going to be a good one.
It will be good because you'll be there. Johnny O, John Osier, at John Osier on Twitter, of course, Jaguars.com, and a frequent guest, host, however you want to look at it.
Oh, no.
Host is a good word. Today.
Oh, no. Host. He's a host. Thank you for thank you for hosting that segment with us, Johnny O. There he goes, everybody. Everyone's favorite, least annoying member of the NFL media, Mr. John Osier. Coming up, we've got This Date in Football. We've got the drive around the NFL, and we'll hear from Gus. We'll hear from Blake along the way as well. Question of the day, who's the most annoying player in the National Football League? Tweet your answers to us, Facebook page. You know all the ways to get in, 641-1010. Text it. Phone it, whatever you like. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Metro Rooter Wednesday continues. Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, This Date in Football History.
By This Date in Football History, brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Always something with the New York Giants, Tony. This Date in Football History, 1971, August 26th. New York Giants announced that they're leaving the Bronx. Good. We don't want you anymore. Packing up and heading to New Jersey. And they would ultimately settle in New Jersey in 1975, but began the process in 1971. Also, birthday on this date, 1973. I say Barrett Robbins. You say what?
AWOL.
AWOL's a good one, absolutely. Barrett Robbins is a pretty good player as a center for the Oakland Raiders. He's 42 years old today. Known most for missing Super Bowl 37 as Oakland took on Tampa Bay as he went AWOL and went down to Tijuana. It was eventually determined he was suffering from manic depression. And, Tony, he told his wife that he thought they had already won the Super Bowl and he was celebrating down in Mexico. And that's really what was in his mind at the time. And since that point in time, he has been arrested on numerous drug charges, assault violations, all kinds of things. He was shot multiple times during a brawl with police in Miami back in 2005 and has basically spent about a decade in and out of prison and dealing with mental health issues as well as substance abuse. Just a sad, sad tale for Barrett Robbins. And that is This Date in Football History. It's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Need a roof? Need a repaired roof? You need one for your business, your home, whatever the case may be. Nobody better than Bob Roberts. License number CCC056797. Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, presenting This Date in Football History.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Dallas Cowboys cornerback Orlando Scandrick was having a really good practice yesterday until it turned into a really terrible one. Scandrick had picked off two passes in practice before falling to the ground clutching his right knee. A cart was brought out to take him tearfully off the field. Scandrick told Ed Warder of ESPN via text that he has torn the ACL and MCL in his right knee. Will miss the entire 2015 campaign for the Dallas Cowboys. Offensive guard Evan Mathis has finally found a new home. Mathis was cut by the Philadelphia Eagles after he expressed his desire to renegotiate his contract, which would have paid him $5.5 million this year. Mathis has signed a one-year, $2.5 million deal with Denver that could be worth up to $4 million with incentives. Reportedly, Mathis turned down $5.5 million from another team, choosing instead to sign with a, quote, contender in Denver. The Pittsburgh Steelers signed free agent quarterback Michael Vick to a one-year deal last night. Steelers backup quarterback Bruce Gronkowski injured his hand on Sunday, leaving Pittsburgh with only Landry Jones as a backup on their roster at that point to Ben Roethlisberger. So Mike Vick, now a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I was basically on air last night when Vick was being signed.
Yeah.
And watching Steelers fans react to the signing of Michael Vick and, you know, Dog Killer, all this kind of stuff coming out again, which happens everywhere that Michael Vick has gone to this point in his career. And I find it ironic in a place like Pittsburgh that the reaction is so vehement against a guy like Michael Vick, considering what Ben Roethlisberger has been accused of twice. Never found guilty of,
right?
But accused of twice.
Well, that is a big distinction, though. I never been actually charged with a crime, but I understand your point of view, but Ben has won him two Super Bowls, and I'm sure if Michael Vick comes off the bench to win him a Super Bowl, I would think a lot of opinions will change on Michael Vick as well. I told you I was in Shreveport. I think it was last spring, maybe something like that. And I happened to see Vic in the airport. I just thought, this is odd. This is kind of random to get off the plane. There's Mike Vick sitting there in the lobby of the airport. And it turned out he's putting on a comedy show in Shreveport. He was, you know, he's the backer for a little comedy circuit. And but the next day it was like front page news in the Shreveport paper. I don't know how much really happens in Shreveport that this was on the front page. But basically, you know, protests about Mike Vick just being in Shreveport and putting on a show. So, hey, a lot of people haven't let it go, and that's their prerogative. You know, you can feel that way if you want to. This horrible news, I feel like we should at least acknowledge what happened in Virginia this morning. If you haven't heard about it, a local reporter was on camera live doing a hit on the morning show, and apparently, based on the best information we have right now, a disgruntled employee, former employee of that company, the television
WDBJ.
Company, WDBJ is a company, went, took a loaded gun, and I don't know if he had a personal grudge against this person or the company or what the deal was, but shot and killed the reporter, shot and killed the cameraman, also shot and wounded the subject of the interview. It was a woman who was being interviewed. I'm not quite sure for what, but she was shot in the back and left there. The guy then, last I saw, is still being pursued on the highways of Virginia. It's a high-speed chase, I would imagine, taking place. They say they know who he is. And sad, the cameraman was engaged to a morning show producer who was leaving for another job. They had a party scheduled for this afternoon. The reporter was engaged to be married as well to an anchor at the station. It's just an awful thing. And just to, obviously, you know, you feel bad for their families. You feel bad, obviously, for them, losing their life. But the reaction of the anchor back at the studio, as this happened live on television. I mean, you don't really see the carnage. You hear a gunshot or two, and then you see the reporter kind of run in terror and the camera drop because everyone's getting shot. And the woman anchor, just the look on her face of what just happened, what just took place right in front of my eyes. I feel bad for her as well. You feel bad for everybody involved, but just the...
It's an insane story.
It's the world we live in, man.
24 and 27 years old. That's the ages of the two people confirmed dead. Allison Parker, the anchor, at 24 years old. Adam Ward, the cameraman, at 27. It was Vicky Gardner, who they were interviewing, apparently at a potentially popular touristy-type spot, talking about, you know, tourism in that area, that kind of thing. And the governor of Virginia has said that they believe their suspect is someone who is a disgruntled employee. He is being pursued on the interstate right now, so they expect the arrest of this person to be imminent. But it's surreal, honestly. I mean, the whole thing is just surreal that it was caught on live TV, and now you're in the middle of a broadcast. How do you do that, right? I mean, how do you do a broadcast? Especially, you hear gunshots, you cut away from it to the person in the studio. How does that person do a show?
It's,
you know, I mean, after watching people that they work with on a daily basis.
How do you go on to the next story about the local SPCA says get your cats spayed and neutered, right? I mean,
it's unbelievable.
Wow.
It's really unbelievable.
And then apparently the guy she was engaged to, the reporter was engaged to, he said that nobody knew this. It wasn't public knowledge, but he tweeted out a picture of the two of them together, all dressed up and out on a date. He said, we didn't share it publicly. We were very much in love. We just moved in together. I'm numb. And he went on through a series of tweets saying, you know, how bad he felt for the fiance of the cameraman. And it's on. And I just, wow. I don't even know how you could compose yourself to put any of that out there.
No.
At this point in time. But people react differently to these types of situations. So.
Sure. And it does sound like the... perpetrator here is going to be arrested very soon.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Let's see what we got. Some tweets from Brent Martineau on what to look forward to this Friday, or some stuff he's hearing from Gus Bradley as he's meeting with the media right now. No Toby Gerhart on Friday night. Was it an oblique?
Oblique strain.
Yeah, oblique strain.
Bradley said that they expect him to be ready for week one.
That's what they expect everybody to be ready for week one.
Right. Not going to play him on Friday night, which was kind of expected once you heard about that oblique injury. Why expose him when you don't have to, especially in a game where, as we talked about, you want to get a look at Yeldon. So get a look at Yeldon. And if he gets the carries that Toby Gerhart would have gotten, so be it.
Yeah. Luke Bowenko will not see any action at tackle this week. And, you know, for those things have a life of their own, right? It's something different. Hey, we're going to see, take a look at Luke at tackle, and then it becomes a 3 or 4 day story of,
sure.
Are we seeing, you know, a new tackle emerge on this football team? And then also, James Sample and Kyrie Fort are game time decisions. And I would imagine, as much as you want to see James Sample out there, they're going to err on the side of caution with a guy coming off a broken arm and, see how it goes.
I think they
feel pretty solid at the moment. I mean, it would be beyond surprising for James Sample to be able to do anything enough in the next couple weeks, to me anyway, to not have Sergio Brown be out there as the opening day starter, and you know, at least for the early portion of the season. And maybe his ability will let him overtake Sergio at some point, but hopefully Sergio plays well enough that that's not an easy switch to kind of make.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we talked about it when Sample broke that arm, unfortunately. There was going to be an open competition there at the free safety spot that just ended that day. You know, it was over that day, knowing that Sample at the earliest was probably not going to be able to get back on the field until week 3 of the preseason, and that was the absolute earliest that he would be back on a field for the Jags, which makes it really difficult to compete for a starting spot, and really probably makes it difficult for him to compete for a starting spot for the first 3 or 4 weeks of the NFL season, and we'll see what Sergio Brown looks like at that point, and if there's potentially an opportunity for Sample to step into that kind of role. But we're all kind of anxious to see what it's going to look like with him back there, and hopefully we get that opportunity on Friday, but certainly don't want to rush him onto the field.
Let's get a call in before we break. 641-1010. Jim, thank you for calling Jaguars today. What's on your mind, man?
Morning, guys. I did want to tell you something. Yesterday, Mike, when you said yes, Monday at the end of the show was like a 5 on the Dempsey scale as far as losing your temper. I tell you a real quick story. Tony, appreciate this. My father-in-law, who cares nothing about sports, was with me one day in the vehicle, and we were at 10 o'clock. Your show comes on no matter what. So anyway, we're driving along, and that was the day about six weeks ago when you waited for a serviceman to show up at your house and did the show. And the first 40 minutes of the show was you losing your temper about waiting for him and not showing up. My father-in-law looks at me. He went to break. And he looks at me and he goes, "That is a very unhappy man." And I thought, so your reputation is intact, okay?
And probably well deserved, Jim, as well. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Nobody's talked about it, but I tell you, after watching Hard Knocks for the first 3 weeks, I'm starting to lose a little interest. It's not as an intriguing, you know, thing as it used to be. But after the first 2 weeks, I so much wanted to, you know, just hope when we play the Texans, just because of, you know, Bill O'Brien, just hope the Jags just kill him. I mean, I'm just so, you know, over the Texans after listening to O'Brien. And then, of course, last night they do the you know, emotional piece about Bill O'Brien and his son and everything else. And you go, oh, gosh, now I feel really terrible that the guy seems like such a jerk, you know, as a coach and everything else. But, you know, I don't know. It may be Hard Knocks is just getting old. But I don't know whether you guys have been watching it or not, but it has just been kind of, I don't know if there's a good storyline other than the fact that Ryan Mallett's really upset that he's not the starter. But just wanted to get your guys' opinion about the Hard Knocks stuff, guys.
All right, thank you, Jim. I've never been a Hard Knocks guy, Tony. I don't have HBO. The way I look at it, I see enough of it, you know, enough of that kind of stuff. We don't see everything. We don't see guys getting, we're not in the room when guys get cut. And I understand that's compelling television to a lot of people. No pun intended, not knocking the show if that's what you like. But this, to me, I've always been, I don't care about all that as nearly as much as I care about what happens on the field, you know? And we try to cover some of that, the aspects of the different slices of life, because not everybody in the audience thinks the same way and not everybody's interested in the same things. But I, quite frankly, you know, it seems pretty formulaic based on, because I read the write-ups on every one, and I think Pro Football Talk said yesterday, this is the one where, you know, following the model of past years, this is the episode in which they do this. And apparently, I guess they do a lot of the same things every year. And, you know, look, if it's for you, fine. If it's not, flip it off.
Yeah, I mean, if I had HBO, I'd watch it. I don't have HBO, so I haven't seen Hard Knocks in years.
And it just goes to show you, I've been known to watch a program after it's aired, right? Yeah. Even if I don't have a subscription to that channel, I've been known to, through the you know, the miracle of modern technology, to do that from time to time, and I don't care enough to go seek this program out. So,
yeah.
For me.
Look, I get it. I understand, because I've watched Hard Knocks before. It's an interesting show, right? That look behind the curtain with an NFL team is an interesting look, I think, because of what we're allowed to do here. From a fan perspective, that kind of access is a really unprecedented thing. We're here. You know, I mean, we're here every day. I'm not saying that we're walking inside the locker room where those cameras are allowed to go and doing all that kind of stuff, but I think because of the access that I'm given with
enough,
the opportunity that I'm given here with the station and covering this team, it's less interesting to me.
All right. By the way, tell your dad, Jim, that, you know, if I didn't occasionally erupt, could you imagine how miserable everyone around me would be, Tony, if I didn't have this outlet to vent my volcanic gases from time to time? Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? And honestly, the whole Chris Carter thing, I wasn't even close to the fired up part of the scale.
No.
Just getting started on Monday, but appreciate you listening nonetheless. All right, 641-1010 if you want to get in. Gus Bradley, Blake Bortles on the other side. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Hey, Tony, have you ever heard of a site called MissTravel.com? MissTravel.com.
No, I have not.
It's apparently a U.S.-based travel and dating website. Is AshleyMadison.com taken? I'm wondering. Anyway.
Right.
Travel and dating website. But the site recently polled over 110,000 American singles to discover the most desired nationalities. In other words, which nationalities men and women do American singles find the most attractive, the sexiest out there? Did I mention to you I'm half Irish? Any chance? Have I ever brought that up?
Yeah, you have.
My dad was born in Ireland. That makes me fully half
Irish.
A little
distracted at the moment.
I know you are. I'm trying to lighten it up a little bit here. World's sexiest men, according to American women, are Irishmen.
Really?
It's got to be the accent. Can't be the teeth. Australians come in second. Tip of the cap to Spinner Howland. Pakistanis,
I like the accent,
come in number three. And American men, fortunately, get a spot in the top four.
Top five!
Look at us. And then Englishmen?
Accent.
Is that what it comes down to?
Yeah.
Because if you think Irish teeth are bad, whew.
The accent.
Scottish, after that, they love the brogues, apparently. Scottish, Italian, Nigerian, Danish, and Spanish. Okay?
Okay.
You're a single American man.
I am, yes.
I'd like you to guess who might appear in the top five based on nearly 45,000 single men who responded to this poll. What nationalities American single men find the most attractive
Asian.
In women? Asian is pretty broad. Okay, that's pretty broad. That's a continental.
Am I on the right continent?
No, not really. Yes, perhaps with this one. Armenians are number one. I'm just going to get right to it. Armenian women are number one.
What?
I don't know if I know an Armenian woman.
No, me either.
But maybe I should meet one.
I'm now Googling famous Armenian women.
Barbadian women from Barbados. All right, I can just picture some little island beauties. And then American women. See, we put you top three, American ladies. Colombians, English women, Australian women, Brazilians, which are comically underranked here, Filipinas, Bulgarian women, and Lebanese women. There you have it. Name the most famous Bulgarian woman you know. I don't know of any. But you know what? Maybe there's some supermodels out there that are from these countries, right? And that's what people think. Oh, where is she from? Okay, Bulgaria? Why not? I'll vote for Bulgaria. So there you go.
No.
MissTravel.com.
Kardashians are apparently Armenian.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Are American men that dumb? I guess they are. I guess we all are. All right, there you have it. Let's hear a little bit from Gus Bradley and Blake Bortles. This is Gus yesterday, and which, if we don't get it out there right now, it's pretty much old news because Gus has met with the media about 20 minutes ago. But here's what he had to say immediately following practice yesterday.
Good work today. Jumped into some red zone just with our offense. But mainly the emphasis is, again, repeat some first and second down plays. Got in the third down. Tomorrow, a different mindset for us, more mental mindset going out there to practice. But I thought two good days of practice, a little bit unique in that usually they have a little bit more time off between the game and, you know, a heavy padded practice like we had. But I thought the team is handling it well.
Gus Bradley, you heard this comment a little bit earlier today in the show, but one more time talking about Luke Pawenko possibly playing some tackle. I know he's not going to be playing any of that on Friday night, but Luke Pawenko possibly playing some tackle going forward.
Yeah, you know, we like his athleticism, and I think his ability to play that. You know, I'll tell you one thing about Bo, the type of guy he is. Like, we were just walking in, he was getting extra reps out there, just lining up and at tackle and getting some rushes on him. So he's a very hard worker. He's got some athleticism, to be a tackle type. So we want to take a look at him.
All right. Also, Gus asked about Sergio Brown, what he's seen from the Jags right now, presumptive starting free safety.
You know, I think he had a good game as far as what we were asking. I think he understands some of the principles. He had a good practice out there today as well. So I think for him, he's starting to get a better understanding what we're asking of that position. And you saw him cover some ground, which was really good in the Giants game. And he made it, a couple open field tackles, what we need out of that free safety. So it's one game. He just needs to keep building on that.
Gus Bradley, speaking yesterday to the media, also asked about the third preseason game, the Lions coming in on Friday night, and it being called that dress rehearsal here in the preseason.
I think a dress rehearsal, probably a good term for it, as far as getting our routine set up for the week. You know, the coaches that are speaking, presenting the material, you know, the players, it's different schedule now. There's no longer any night walkthroughs. They're all early in the morning. So getting that part of the routine, I think, is what the majority of the emphasis is. Some of our presentations in the room aren't as long as they would be in the regular season, but it gives the players an idea who's going to be talking to them, who's going to be the guy that has studied the protections and who to go to, you know, as an example. But, yeah, from the players, I think, you know, together, the first team, to go out there and play at least a half, and to go out there and put it together. If people come out of the locker room and play another portion of the game is important.
Metro Rooter Wednesday here on Jaguars Today. We'll hear from Blake Bortles momentarily. I just saw a story where Doug Martin once again brings up how he hates being called the muscle hamster, right? That was the nickname given to him at Boise State. And
uh-huh.
It took flight in his rookie season in 2012. And I guess attached from an NFL.com highlight, somebody at NFL.com wrote, he's running like the 2012 muscle hamster again, something like that. So he tweeted back to NFL.com, said, please stop using this nickname. Tony, I'm thinking, what might we suggest the Bold City Brigade and Teal Street Hooligans chant during week 5 as they invade Raymond James Stadium? I'm sure I can think of something. I'll get back to you and let you know what that might be. Blake Bortles talking about, again, the dress rehearsal, the third preseason game, similar to the last question asked to Gus.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of the routine, I guess, with preseason game threes. But, I mean, it's just another opportunity for us to prepare and, you know, another dress rehearsal, like you said, for the regular season. So we'll take it as it is, and it's a game week and an opportunity to get ready and go, go kind of showcase what we work on and who we are.
Blake also yesterday, just like the rest of us, excited to see T.J. Yeldon in action finally.
Yeah, I am. Obviously I've seen what he's been able to do in practice, you know, in the limited live sessions that we've had. So I'm excited for him. I'm excited for his opportunity. I'm excited to see, what he can do in a game-like situation, you know, running the ball, catching it out of the backfield, picking it up in protections. I'm excited to see what he can do.
I don't know what a quarterback can impart to a running back making his first start, but Blake was asked about, does he give TJ advice in terms of the adjustment to the speed of the game, even going from, you know, practices that are full contact to an actual game with an opponent wearing a different uniform, what kind of words of advice would he have for T.J. Yeldon in that regard?
Well, I mean, he's faster than I am, so it's probably an easier adjustment. They're way faster than I am, but he can run with everybody probably. So, but, I mean, it is a little different. The only way to get used to it is live reps. So I'm sure he'll get used to that, and he'll kind of get in the flow, and it's just playing football again. You know, he was fortunate to play in a good conference at a really good school in Alabama. So, I mean, he got to see, you know, the best of the best in college. And, you know, that's kind of everybody on Sunday is the best of the best. So I'm sure he's excited for it, and I'm excited to see him play.
It's part of making that, you know, that first appearance in an NFL game. Not only, look, it's so different than practice, right? And it'll be ramped up that much more once Carolina gets here in a couple weeks. But Friday night, when he's out there in front of those home fans for the first time in an NFL game, you want to get to the point where something slows down for you. And that's what they talk about when the game slows down for these guys. Blake Bortles speaking yesterday after practice. Also asked about the center position battle has been decided. Stefan Wisniewski will be the starting center for this team. He was asked if there would be more cohesion between he and the center now going forward.
Yeah, yeah. You know, name Wiz the starter, and you know, Bo being the great athlete he is allows us some versatility with him. You know, he can kind of move around and be, you know, maybe the sixth man and the guy to swing back and forth. But, you know, Wiz did a great job, you know, all throughout camp and, you know, competed his tail off. And really, I think mentally, you know, is as a quarterback, you know, to have a guy that is, you know, as mental as Wiz is a huge help, you know, because he helps out with a lot of stuff, especially being in the offense, you know, the past couple of years and knowing Ole.
One of the criticisms of the Jetfish offense was that it had too many things, too many pieces going on, and they never really focused on a core of what Blake Bortles did best, and let's beat that into the ground, and let's really master that.
Mm-hmm.
And so Blake was asked, now that you've got a new offense, and it seems to be going pretty well with the install, have you gotten to the point now where you're even starting to trim out some of the stuff, you're learning what you do and don't like in this new playbook?
It's a cool system because there's not a whole lot of plays where it's like, oh, I really don't like that, you know. So whether it's a good system or whatever that means, you know, but there are, you know, a couple plays where it's like, okay, I really like these. I know these in and out versus every look. You know, these are my, you know, gotta have it calls, or, you know, when we get into trouble, this is my go-to call. So I do have those, and, you know, that'll hopefully continue to grow that list until, you know, you eventually own the whole playbook.
Gus Bradley has talked before about Blake and routine. He's been through all this in the offseason trying to work on that arm motion, his feet, getting him in the right place. And players are superstitious. They like to have a routine for what they do on game day, getting ready, preparing for a game, game week, all that kind of stuff. Gus Bradley has talked about that with Blake. Blake commented on it himself and how it may have attributed to his greater success early on this year.
You know, I think it's important to be able to, you know, I think that was kind of a big thing this offseason, is talking to other guys that have done it. It's kind of my first offseason, so being able to talk to other quarterbacks, talk to guys that have been around it, you know, what do? What is your routine? How do you take care of your body? How do you watch film? How do you do all these things? So that was kind of cool and neat, and, you know, I'm kind of piecing mine together and continuing to develop that, but I think it's helped out a lot.
Here's how I would, when asked the question, what you like about this offense, what I hope to be able to say this year is all the touchdown passes it produces, but
yeah,
that's a work in progress. Blake was asked yesterday that very thing. Here's his response when he was asked, what does he like about this Jaguar offense?
I think the versatility of it. I think the fact that, you know, we can do so many things and always been good about kind of accommodating who we are. You know, we have, you know, a good tight end room. So, you know, we were in a lot of 13 early and stuff until Julius went down. So he's kind of able to, he's able to put the guys on the field where our strong suit is and be able to still run the same schemes and concepts that we would if we were, you know, 4 or 5 wide.
Yeah, for a team that says they really want to run the ball, I haven't gotten that feeling, Tony, that this is, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust here in the preseason. I think that's what he's alluding to, and we can only hope as they get more and more pieces back to the puzzle at the skill positions, slowly but surely get T.J. Yeldon back this week, and then hopefully Julius Thomas and Marquise Lee for week one, that they can show you to the true diversity of this. We'll find out next step Friday night. Dress rehearsal, whether you want to call it that or not, it's as close as you're going to get to real NFL football before it gets real. All right, if you want tickets to the game, email me, MikeD@1010XL.com. Include your phone number and tell me why you deserve my tickets, my personal tickets to Friday night's game because I'll be using not the tickets, but I'll be using my press credential to get in. But I want to make sure somebody uses them. So email me. You still have time, and I'll pick somebody at some point this afternoon. And if you don't hear back from me this afternoon, you can assume you did not win, but that'll give you a couple of days to pick them up either tomorrow or Friday and go take in the Jags and the Lions this Friday night at Everbank Field. Scheduled for an 8 o'clock kick, I'm told 8:07. Is when you can expect toe to meet leather in that often overused phrase. All right, let's get to the fan feedback spotlight coming up next, where we ask you today, in light of comments made by Victor Cruz and Odell Beckham Jr. about how the Jags defensive backs were targeting Odell, they're being mean to him. Who is the most annoying player in the National Football League from your personal perspective? We'll get to some of your replies coming up next. This is 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, down the stretch we come here. Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. We will not be chatting with the boys of XL Primetime today. I think they have Davis Love III coming up near the top of the show. The Gladry Classic coming up. And, of course, he's coming off a victory at the age of 51 on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, third oldest to ever do it.
Pretty spectacular stuff there. And I'll be sitting in here with Denard Robinson coming up in about 20 minutes getting ready for the pregame show. You'll hear that interview coming up Friday or Saturday. Friday. I'm confused. I confuse myself.
Friday
it
night.
Is Friday. It was Saturday last week, Tony. I'll see you Saturday. Oops. Where's Dempsey? Oh, he'll be here tomorrow. We don't talk about him really on this show, but congrats to the Jacksonville Sharks for making it to the Arena Bowl. And they've got information for fans that are trying to travel out to Stockton, California to see them take on the San Jose, was it the Sabercats?
Sabercats, yeah.
Sabercats.
That game was awesome. Sunday night.
61-56?
Yeah, I watched the entire thing. I haven't watched a ton of Sharks football this year, but I watched the entire thing, and San Jose was throwing the ball into the end zone to potentially win it there on the last play. It was awesome. And watching Coach Moss after the game, as emotional as he was, he's lost his father here in the last year, who's one of the reasons that he coaches at all. I mean, it was really cool watching the entire scene, and they're going back. Arena Bowl 28 coming up this Saturday.
If you follow them on Twitter, at Jack Sharks, you can get info if you are one of the rabid Shark fans that would like to make the trip out to California to take in the Arena Bowl. It'll probably be pretty fun. Wish I could join you on that. Today, the fan feedback spotlight, Tony, on a Metro Rooter Wednesday, asked you to tell us who you found the most annoying in the National Football League, and what did we get?
From Duval Doom, you're probably not going to be surprised by my answer, and he's got a picture of J.J. Watt smashing his face into, it looks like a Colt's butt, something.
That's
Colt's
a great picture. Butt. It really looks like he's sniffing, too.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the way his nostrils are flared up.
Yeah. Mike said Andrew Luck from Irish Jaguar. I can guess who Duval Doom is going to say. I'll go with Blaine effing Gabbert.
Yeah, by the way, Irish Jag said he does confirm the poll findings from earlier that we talked about. We got that
really?
Tweet from. Yeah, he does confirm that Irish men are the sexiest in the world.
I'm sure he does.
Yes, congratulations on the recent nuptials.
Yes, from Daniel, I find J.J. Watt quite annoying. He talks way too much trash and isn't really good at it. At least not talking trash. Joey, Deshaun Jackson, he's an idiot. Taunting, fumbling, just a returner idiot. Hashtag grow up, you tiny... And hashtag Scoby knows. From Isaiah, don't get me started. It's a long list. A few of them, Antrell Roll, Tiki Barber. Apparently, he does not like the Giants. And Trent Richardson. From Christopher, I loathe Jamie Dukes. Worst part of NFL Network. He bashes the Jags all the time. Hashtag what a tool. From Josh, Richard Sherman, great player, but still annoying. From Chris, OBJ, rookies don't make enough. Give me a break. Hashtag hoping for Madden curse. Hashtag horrible numbers in 2015. From Jason, is Justin Blackmon still considered a player? If so, him. So much talent wasted. From Dusty Duval, Lee and his injuries, sorry, it's annoying to me. Hashtag go play. From Pat, don't know if he's still playing, but Cortland Finnegan annoyed the crap out of me. And from T-Rich and Dominican Sue, nobody else even comes close. Hashtag most annoying player in the NFL. He certainly is among the dirtiest, if nothing else.
I'll give you a couple from Facebook. This one, Josh Wigan got a T-shirt. He may have won one before. I don't know. We started fresh with the new batch, so that's all I can tell you. This one stood out to me. The Jags presented Aaron Ross with an absolutely magical moment by enabling him to watch his wife win Olympic gold on the world's biggest scoreboard surrounded by his teammates and fans. He turned around and slapped the Jaguars in the face by playing like garbage and then boasting about his, quote, vacation in Jacksonville. Aaron Ross, you are by far the most annoying player in the NFL. Nick Roberson went with Andrew Luck. Does anyone else think he looks and sounds like a caveman? Hashtag the missing link. Many more votes for J.J. Watt, many more votes for individuals and collectively the Seahawks, several votes for Tom Brady, Geno Smith, Johnny Football, take your pick, said Aaron. And then finally, one I saw early on Twitter, and I've seen a few on Facebook as well, RG3. RG3 might be the current guy. At any moment, it kind of changes, you know what I mean? But RG3, just with that look like, oh, me, they hit me again? I guess that means the Detroit line, defensive line, was targeting RG3.
I guess
that,
so.
Is that how that works?
RG3, every time he gets put on the grass, just that slow, he looks like he may never get up.
I believe Jay Gruden put me in a bad position.
Right. It's at the end of Rocky 2, right, where both guys are on the canvas and which guy's going to get up first.
Get up, Rock!
It always looks like that with RG3, right? Every time he gets hit, there's just this slow, is this going to be the one that he's finally gone forever type hit? And oh my gosh, it just gets on my nerves. Just get up.
Look on his face, and the media's taking me all out of context. Enough with the context stuff. Save it for when it's really taken out of context.
Look,
when you're quoted directly in like a paragraph of what you said, that's context. There's
and you're
no context there.
A first round pick, an NFL quarterback. When you say things, believe it or not, everybody in the media
y'all
is paying attention.
Clicks. Well, yes, they are trying to get clicks. That's kind of what they do. That's
so
how the media
works. So why give them
things
to click on?
Right. Don't say things that you know people are going to react to. Oh, I'm shocked that people would react to me saying I'm the best quarterback in the National
There's
football.
A reason we call some things coach speak.
Look, we spent about 2 years talking about Joe Flacco. Is he elite?
Right.
I mean, anything that's said about a quarterback.
I appreciate honesty, right? I appreciate the honesty from players when they open up that door a little bit for the media. I like that. I don't know why. If you think you're the best quarterback in the league, then don't come back the next day and be like, why are y'all taking me out of context?
And I understand how he
just
said
say
it.
What you got to say.
You know, he said it, and then he did kind of try to clarify it. I'm, you know, it's a goal I work towards, so I have to think of myself that way. I didn't have a problem with what he said. I have a bigger problem with him blaming everybody for focusing on what he said. I guess because I'm the quarterback of the Redskins. Yes, exactly. The NFL is pretty large and in charge as far as that goes. Do we still have Brian on the line there, Tyler? See if we can get him in. He's been hanging on patiently, and we appreciate that. 641-1010. Brian, we'll get you in under the wire here. How are you this morning?
I'm great. How you doing, guys?
Good, man. What's up?
Now we're talking about guys that annoy us. I just saw on ESPN Odell Beckham, and he was talking pretty bad about our defense, talking about we were targeting him during the preseason. I don't know if you guys thought about this yet, but that got under my skin. And I was watching all the plays that we allegedly targeted him on, and we were pulling up all over the place. And this
yes.
cat and his hair was just driving me crazy. And I just want to get your take on it, and I'll take it off here.
Brian, I would suggest that you go listen to the podcast of Jaguars Today, which we've been talking about this pretty much since the show started today.
That's why we're asking the
Welcome
question
to the
we're
program
asking
this morning.
Today.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. And we get it. Not everybody listens to the entire show. That's a lesson. You should listen to the entire show, okay? But thank you for the call. That was the inspiration for today's question. Odell Beckham and Victor Cruz whining about the treatment. Hey, guys are going to hit you, okay? That's kind of the nature of the National Football League. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Metro Rooter for all size plumbing jobs, residential, commercial, industrial, you name it, same-day service, weekends included. Trust them in my house. You can trust them in yours. The right people with the right equipment serving Jacksonville and the surrounding area since 1978. Call Metro Rooter at 695-1911 or visit them at metrorooter.com. The question of the day presented by the Tom Bush family of automobile dealerships. Thanks to John Osier from Jaguars.com for stopping by earlier, and glad we could bring you some of the thoughts of Gus Bradley and Blake Bortles. Ryan O'Halloran's going to join us tomorrow. David Garrard should be joining us on Friday. Jags will be on the field on Friday. If you sent me an email, I appreciate it. In regards to the tickets, I have not read them yet, so I got a bunch to sift through. I will determine a winner this afternoon. You will be contacted. Make sure if you did email, you included your phone number in there for a pair of tickets to Friday night's game. All you had to do was tell me why you deserve the tickets, and somebody's going to get a pair for Friday night's game between the Jags and the Lions. That does it for us, for Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, and for Joe Fortunato and all the aforementioned. I'm Mike Dempsey signing off. XL Primetime coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flip.
Woo! That's great job!